Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Let's end a mindset of worship. Well, we're supposed to have a storm, those of you listening in this area. Tornadoes are sighted, and so haven't seen those in a long time. Well, you haven't been in Wichita Falls in a long time. And tonight we're celebrating John Harvey's birthday. Yeah, the man turned 66. It's a familiar number. And good 1942 was a good year. Jim Passmore. So, okay. She went in for some tests this week and hadn't gotten the results back. So, she thinks that the therapy's working, but she's not sure. So, that part's good. And we need to continue to be in prayer. Need to be in prayer for Nathan, and he'll go Thursday, tomorrow morning, to pick him up at 4:15, 5:15.
I need to pray, right? I have to go 4 o'clock to make sure I can get him up. They're picking him up at 4:30.
Hey, tell him, he's now on the military time. He's got to get up himself. Boy, I remember. So, we'll be in prayer for you. I remember when I was in the military, we were out in a field. I was in Third Armor, and we were out in the field. And this truck, the guy that was the sergeant that ran the mess hall, got intoxicated and took a 2.5-ton truck through the mess hall. And needless to say, that ended his tenure for a while. And so the CO came to my bunk and asked me if I'd go over there and run the mess hall for him. And I said, yes, I will, except for one thing. Just one thing. I will not be responsible for the cooks, the KP people. If they're not here, you're responsible to have a sergeant go over and bring them in. And he said, not a problem. I knew it. I wasn't going to put up with that. The cooks are sleeping, or KPs are sleeping. And I remember a couple of times, he did it. He's a big guy. He did it himself. He went in and just turned their beds upside down. And he did that a couple of times, and that was it. I never had any more problem. So they learned. And so we'll need to be in prayer for Nathan. And I hope he's going to get some sleep tonight, and so he'll be in good shape in the morning. Okay. That's what he says. So he'll be 9 hours. Well, it didn't take our, did it? Did our physics take? Did our physicals take 9 hours? Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. When I went in, they were just so desperate. Yeah, take him. He's breathing. Wait, hurry up and wait. I guess it did. Yeah, all the things and shots and stuff. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. So, those were great dear years. I just wouldn't want to redo them. Hurry up. And then we need to be in prayer for Amber. We need to be in prayer for Lisa. Need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker. We need to be in prayer for Vic Edwards and Cindy Edwards in Wichita Falls. And how's your brother doing, sir?
I think he's doing all right, Herman.
He's doing okay. All right. That's good. And your father? Good. He driving?
He is.
All right.
He goes to exercise 3 days a week.
Good.
And then the other 2 days he does his exercise.
Very good. All right.
So he's really working.
That's good. So he doesn't have to reach across with a key or anymore or anything. He can get in there and go. Good. Very good. All right.
He can't feed himself very well.
Okay. But he can't cut. Motor activity, okay. We need to be in prayer for Sharon as you continue to recover, get well, get better. A lot better, but not. She's not ready. And Edna goes in the middle of, 15th of May. Okay.
She was upset today because they were going to make her get her teeth x-rayed before they'll do the surgery. Because they want to make sure she doesn't have any cavities or anything for infection.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. I think everybody's eaten their birthday cake here, so let's have a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in His Spirit, because we are in the midst of studying prayer as it relates to the greater works, but principles of prayer in our everyday life as well. Let's pray. How wonderful it is to know, Heavenly Father, that we have the privilege and the exhortation to come to You in prayer. Not an intrusion on our life at all. When we sit back and we think, here we are, finite man, weak, sinful, and we have the privilege of coming to You in prayer, the sovereign, omnipotent God, and that You hear our prayers and that You answer and You respond to our prayers. Are just overwhelmed with what manner of God You are. And now, Father, I pray that Your Spirit will give me the words in wisdom and in truth to communicate the truths that are here in our passage before us, and praying in Jesus' name that He will do it. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, last week we left off at 1 Corinthians 2:16. And quoted from Isaiah 40:13, where we have the mind of Christ. And you recall that Paul's reason for going to that was that in order to pray as Jesus Christ prayed, we have to have the thinking of Jesus Christ, and we have that with the presence of the Holy Spirit. In order to pray in His name, we must know that name, and only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we know His mind. Therefore, we pray in His name as praying in the illuminating spirit of the by the Holy Spirit of the mind of Jesus Christ, the thinking of Christ. So we have pray in His name. One, believer, spiritual creation. Two, based on the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Three, patterned after spiritual love. Four, praying in His name. And that's where we are right now. Praying in the name of Jesus Christ, the desires of Jesus Christ, that is, empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit, gives us the desire of Jesus Christ, and the desire of Christ is that all men be in harmony with God, be reconciled with God. That's why, as God, Jesus Christ became man. As man, He took our place on the cross, that we might be reconciled. That's His thinking. So this is our thinking in our prayers in regard to the greater works. And then five, to pray in Jesus' name is to have the mind of Jesus Christ, the same thinking of Jesus Christ, and we have the mind of Christ, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this brings us, just by way of flow here of our study on prayer, I can't study prayer without going through this a little bit, brings us to the importance of prayer. And we have three parts of prayer. And the first part of prayer I call prayer preparation. Prayer preparation. Years ago in my office, and came across and just developed these three, and it has just made a big difference in my own prayer life to go through. And now, if your plane's crashing, you don't have much time for preparation. You just say help. and but where we can go into our own office and our own setting and pray. We spend some time in prayer preparation, and then there is the prayer that flows from the preparation, and then there is the prayer pursuit. And so prayer pursuit. Now, if you know how to pray, then you'll know what to do once you've said amen. Now, the first step of prayer, and I'm not going to spend a long time, just briefly remind you and go over some of these things. First step of prayer is prayer preparation. This is where we first decide, first of all, we decide where we're going to go with our hurts, our burdens, our anger, our trouble, our sufferings, or the sufferings of others, our joy. So we make our decision, we're going to go to God. So we first decide we're going to go to God with our prayer requests, with our problems, our hurts, our desires, these times, even our joys and our happinesses. Then in prayer preparation, secondly, first of all, we decide that's where we're going to go. We must present ourselves to the Holy Spirit by faith. Prayer preparation is dependent upon the filling of the Spirit, just as much as prayer and prayer pursuit. Preparing our prayers in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, what is it that I want to say to God, that I can say to God? And these are the questions we go through. And this is a very important element. Can I pray what I'd like to pray? Can I ask God to do that? These kinds of questions. In prayer preparation, we decide if this prayer that I want to pray, is it related to the works of Jesus Christ? Now, I'm just talking about the greater works prayers right now. Is it related to the works of Jesus Christ? Therefore, related to my doing the greater works. Then we sit back and we go into the prayer. So this is a good criterion for our prayers, all of our prayers. Can I ask God this? Can I ask God to help this person, help that person, help me? Can I ask God to help my pet to get well? Is that something I can ask God? And I'm just showing how personal we want prayer to be. And yes, we can. People, he's our Father. Go to Him as you would with your father. So this is prayer preparation. And so while it's good for all prayers, it's especially important and related to the greater works. Our mission is related to the spiritual kingdom, going out and bringing the Gentiles into the kingdom. So as you prepare your prayer, you kind of go through, is this what Jesus Christ would pray? Is this what He would pray in regard to why He became man? I represent Him. I am in Him, and He is in me. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you trust the Spirit, He'll direct your prayer preparation. Remember, praying in His name, praying for His desires, praying as He would pray, and all these types of things requires that we be filled with the Spirit and that we know how He would pray. Let's look at John 12:27 in this respect. John 12:27. John 12:27. Now, this is Jesus Christ. In case you don't have the red print Bible, this is Jesus Christ speaking. Now, my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? This is prayer preparation. Jesus Christ is thinking about what He can pray. This is preparation prior to Jesus Christ going to the cross. What shall I say? Now, the next one is part of prayer preparation. Father, deliver me. Save me. Deliver me from this hour. The hour is the suffering of the cross. And while still in prayer preparation, Jesus Christ comes to this conclusion about himself and what is it is about to happen. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Jesus Christ knows himself and why he is here. And this will influence his prayer to God the Father. So just like that, prayer preparation is over. So it's prayer preparation. Now, my soul has become troubled. So he's just thinking to himself, what shall I say to the Father in prayer? Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? Well, I can't say that. For this purpose I came to this hour. I came to this moment of death on the cross. Now prayer preparation is over. It's time to go into prayer. Verse 28 is the prayer. Father, glorify thy name. That's the prayer. So this is beautifully laid out in a very simple way of prayer preparation. How we kind of go through, all right, I'm heavy. Say you're heavy about, I'm heavy about this. Maybe it's related to work or marriage or people or money or health or whatever it is. And somebody else or something. So you just think, okay, I'm heavy about this. And can I ask God to do this or do that? And, you know, is this befitting to what I'm here for, and all these types of things. So, his prayer, Father, glorify thy name. Now, not here, not right here, but what is his prayer pursuit? His prayer pursuit, the third stage, is to go to the cross. He's going to pursue his prayer. He now knows. His prayer has now directed him, if we just took it in that sense, his prayer has now directed him to go on to the cross. That's what I came for. Father, glorify thy name. He's going to glorify his name by the work of Christ on the cross. Prayer pursuit is living according to your prayers. Prayer pursuit is living according to your prayers. If you know how to pray, your prayers will direct you on what to do after you pray. It amazes me. People, oh God, help me with this, help me with that, amen, and then go do what they want to do. Go do what they're going to plan on, what their desires are. Or they're going to put forth their plan. If we know how to pray, it'll direct us. I tell people, be careful. When you pray, oh, all right, Father, let somebody come in and teach our children. Well, prayer pursuit may be you teaching the children. And let the money come. Well, it may be prayer pursuit, may be you. So let this person be hear the gospel. Prayer pursuit may be you giving them the gospel. So you want to be careful, because prayer pursuit is related to your prayers. Living according to how you pray. A lot of time people will hang up, say amen, and just get right back into the flesh. And do it. Hey, Father, let this happen, and you got 15 minutes to do it, and then I'm taking over. I'm getting on the phone. And I'm going to do this and that. So, now, Father, glorify thy name. Now that's his prayer. Now, prayer pursuit is going to the cross. But note what it says. There came therefore a voice out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So in prayer preparation, that's where you prepare your prayer, all the considerations, and is this related to the greater works type of thing? And if it's not, if it's just a prayer and other things, is this something I can pray to God? Prayer preparation can be very vital. I don't think this is a good verse to do it with, but if we added up all the words of prayer preparation, Now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, deliver me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. And then the prayer is very simple. Father, glorify thy name. So sometimes prayer preparation will be the majority of your time. Be the majority of your time. Now, not always, but sometime. And your prayer then will be very... You might even decide, you know what? I can't offer this prayer anyway. I think I'll just forget it. Because this, the prayer preparation becomes so important in this area. So prayer preparation, that is, as you pray, prepare your prayer, consider, is this related to the greater works that we're studying right now? And this type of thing. So praying in His name. All right, let's take a look now at some points on praying in His name. All right, so here's praying in His name. Okay, that's the name of Jesus Christ. Praying in His name. Okay, now I think I started off, but I'm going somewhere with it here. So one must be a believer positioned in Jesus Christ. Only a believer positioned in Christ, pray in His name. Two, prayer on the basis of who and what Jesus Christ is and what He did. Prayer based on Jesus Christ. Who Jesus Christ is, what He did. Three, it's patterned after spiritual love. It's patterned after spiritual love. Loving as He loved. So I'll just put it on the board. Loving as He loved. Praying as He prayed. Okay? To pray in His name is to pray in His love. To pray in His name is to pray as He would pray. To pray in His name is to have this mindset of offering the kingdom, opening the kingdom to everyone. Now, point four. To pray in His name is to pray with the same desires that Jesus Christ had, Philippians 2:12, which we studied. To pray in His name is to pray with the same desires that Jesus Christ desired, Philippians 2:12. This is by the Holy Spirit. And as you recall, sometimes we just have to pray, Father, give me the desire to desire. We may be that far aloof of things or in anger or something and not really know the circumstances, so just give me the desire. Point five, to pray in His name requires that we think as He thought. Same attitude, Philippians 2:1-11. Let this attitude be in you that was in Him. And what was the attitude in Him? That He did not think that being deity was something to be held on to, but lowered Himself to man and became the servant of man, even to the point of death, the death of the cross. So, point four, have His desires, Philippians 2:12. Then five, to pray requires we think as Jesus Christ thought, the attitude, the same attitude of Christ, Philippians 2:1-11. And we have His mind in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we can have the desires of Christ. We can have the mind of Christ. Now, one thing before we leave the phrase, His name. One more thing that I want to cover. Point one. While this name has great power at the throne of God, while this name has great power at the throne of God, the world hates this name. And the world, therefore, hates all who bear it, Christians. The word Christian is not a complimentary word in its origin. We wear it like a badge. But in its origin, it was ridicule. You are a Christian means little Christ. Well, you're just a little Christ. You can't think for yourself. It's a derogatory term. Now, we wear it proudly, but it's a derogatory term. I wish that it were true, that all Christians were little Christ. But unfortunately, that's not true. But that's what the word means. So while this name has great power at the throne of God, the world hates this name. People of the world hates it. It's a ridicule. It's cursing. I mean, I think I've said it many times before, but just I can go to a movie and I can just put up with a lot of stuff in a movie, but every time they go, Jesus Christ, it just cuts right through me. I don't even ignore it. I can't ignore it. It just shoots through. And the world ridiculed. It's a name to be ridiculed. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Matthew 10, 22. And you will be hated by all on account of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved, delivered. Hated by man, hated by Satan and all of his forces. Point two. By the way, just to clear up a problem, that doesn't mean that only those who endure to the end will be saved eternally. That means delivered through the sufferings that the world puts on you. Okay. Point two. In reference to greater works, the hope of the Gentiles. The hope of Gentiles is in the name of Jesus Christ. Please look with me at Matthew 12, 21. Please look at Matthew 12, 21. It's a short verse. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. So this is the opening up of the kingdom now, not just to the Jews, but to Gentiles. And it is in the name of Jesus Christ is the confidence. Point three. Point one, the world hates his name and hates you if you carry it. Point two, it is the hope of the Gentiles. His name is the hope of the Gentiles. Point three, repentance and forgiveness of sins. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name. Let's turn to Luke 24. We want to read a couple of verses here. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24:45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. This is what happens when you go into prayer and commit yourself to the Holy Spirit by faith. Verse 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, resurrection and life. We studied the resurrection last night. Verse 47. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. That's passages, I want you to see that it's in his name, but it's passages like this that people go to, that little here and a little there with their false teaching. Oh, see, you got to repent and to be forgiven. Then you got to go to baptism. Then you got this, got that. You got to put this in the framework of Jewish thought. You got to put this in framework of Jewish thought. Okay, point four. We are blessed. There's a special blessing if we suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. There is a special blessing if we suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. I don't think too many Americans have suffered for the name of Jesus Christ in the past. I think it may be coming up in the future, but not too many in America. But there have been so many through history who have indeed suffered for the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Peter. We haven't looked at 1 Peter in some time. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Powerful verse. If, and maybe you will be, and maybe you will not, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Because the Spirit of glory, the Holy Spirit, and of God rest upon you. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Acts 5, verse 41. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name, or because of his name. They did not look on it as though it was something, oh, woe is me, but that they had been considered worthy to suffer for his name. And then finally on this one, point four, Philippians chapter 1, that great book, Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, another very powerful verse. Philippians 1, verse 29, Philippians 1:29, for to you, born-again believers, it has been granted for Christ's benefit not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. That is, because of his name. So, point four is blessing. If we suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, this will be very strong in the tribulational period. This has been very strong in various parts of history of man. Even in the 20th century, a great number of people have suffered in Russia, in Germany, and so many places. And today there are people in Sudan, and there's so many people being murdered just because they're Christians in places in the world right now. All right, point five. Point five. We are to sing to his name. This gives us joy. Joy related to his name. Let's look at Romans 15. Let's look at Romans 15. We are to sing to his name. Romans 15, verse 9. And for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to thee among the Gentiles, and I will sing to thy name. So we're to sing to his name. Paul makes it very clear that this is the desire to sing, to praise, to be in the name of the Holy Spirit, but for this to be, it has to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so point one, while the name has great, his name has power before the throne, if the world hates it. Point two, it's reference to the greater works, it's the hope of the Gentiles. Point three, repentance and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name. Four, we are blessed if we suffer for his name. Five, we are to sing praises to his name. And point six, thanksgiving to God the Father is given in his name. Thanksgiving to God the Father is given in his name, the name of Jesus Christ. His name is related to our prayers. Let's first of all look at Ephesians chapter 5. These are things I hope you'll put down in notes, but have it close at hand in your Bibles when you're in your prayers. Just to pray and to sing and to give thanks and to praise him. So Ephesians chapter 5. Thanksgiving to the Father is given in his name. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks, is constantly, daily, for things, for all things, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. So here prayer is addressed to the Father. It's thanksgiving as the attitude and the purpose of this prayer. And it is to be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this it says in all things. People, just things that happen to us throughout the day. Just things that happen. And sometimes if we're in a near wreck, boy, thank you, Father, I didn't get in a wreck. But if you know anything about guardian angels and all, it'll shock us how many times we almost died and didn't know it. So we just give thanks for our safety and for our husbands and our wives and our children and our parents and our home and just so many things. Constantly giving thanks. It should be an attitude. An attitude. But it must be in the name. And why in the name of the Lord Jesus? Because that relates Him to the things that we're thankful for. That relates us, that reminds us that we are thankful in relationship to Him. Have we got all of our blessings from God through Jesus Christ? Let's look at one other one here. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. My friend John Hintz is teaching the book of Hebrews now, and we talk about things going on in it. I asked him the other day, I said, well, now have you come across, and do you know who wrote it? And he goes, no, I haven't. And I said, well, I can give you a hint who wrote it. He said, really? And I said, yeah. I said, it was a woman. It's a woman? And I said, yeah. In chapter 12, she says, in a few words, I have told you these things. And only one for 12 chapters, in a few words, I've told you these things. Okay. Yeah, he got it. Hebrews 13:15. See, I can tell those jokes. I don't have to go home and sleep on the couch. I'll get my own bed. All right. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. So just people just having a thankful attitude is related to Jesus Christ. Thankful throughout the day. Point 7. Everything that we do should be done in his name, not just prayer. Everything that we do should be done in his name, not just prayer. Let's look at Colossians 3:17. Be done in the power of the Spirit, but done in his name. Praise in the power of the Spirit, but in his name. Thanksgiving in the power of the Spirit, but in reference to his name. Now, everything that we should do should be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that. But sometimes I don't emphasize enough that it's how it's related to Jesus Christ also. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word, where we speak, or deed, action, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks, there's that prayer, through him to God the Father. There's that thanksgiving to God the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. So whatever we do in word or speaking, because he cares how we sound, our deed and action, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God our Father. So that theme has come up so many times. And finally, point 8. God the Holy Spirit, faith, and love all are given to us that we might glorify His name. The Holy Spirit, faith, spiritual love, All are given to us that we might glorify His name in our lives. Let's look at two verses in 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 11. To this objective, to this goal, to this end, also we pray for you, always. Now, when I sit down at my desk and study, I get up, make my way to my office, start to lay out everything, turn on the computer, and open up my text. I pray in regard to the Spirit leading me in the openness of seeing the truth that's in the passages, and then I pray for you. That this is not just for me, though it is for me, but it is for those that will listen. They have, you all have your needs, you have various places, we're all in just in different places here, and then those that listen on the internet. Everyone has just, and I would never know. There's no way. Not only could I never know, I don't want to know. But He does. And so those are the things that I pray in regard to looking for. Okay, so to this end also we pray for you always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling. Now, what that means is that you're walking by faith in the Holy Spirit and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, they saw that nothing else matters but faith working through love. So the greatest thing of faith, the greatest work of faith is love. So, and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. That's with the Holy Spirit. In order that, verse 12, and people, boy, that's where you slow down. Those little particles is where I slow down. In order that, I was working on Romans chapter 1 today. And these little particles and these things in the flow of verses 1:23 and following are just so important that they that God is going to turn us over to the dark, those who have rejected Him, to the darkness of our souls and the lust of our hearts, in order that. And it's very insightful what it all is designed to do. And boy, it's so wonderful is that I have some commentaries that I like to look at that are men that did very good in the Greek and Hebrew, and boy, they're all jumping on this and oh boy, turning them over. But you know, not one saw what His Spirit opened to me, and this deal was, it to me, it tied in with the Isaiah 28, where they will go and stumble and fall backward and take its snare and all these things. And why all of that? That they might see the truth. And what God is doing in turning man over to the lustful desires of his flesh, of his lust in his heart, and all of these things that are happening is that he'll just stumble and maybe see the truth, because he's not going to otherwise. And so to me, when I was sitting and studying, I just saw the grace of God here. I didn't see something horrible. I just saw something wonderful. And but in order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. That the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. People, if people in the world, people in your office, in your social life, in your home, are going to see the glory of the name of the Lord, it's going to be through us. If they're going to see how God loves, it's going to be through us, because He's not here. He is not here. He is absent from the earth. He is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And if they're going to see it, they're going to see it through us. That's the only place. In order that, verse 12, in order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Jesus Christ is God. Okay, those are eight things related to his name that I want to go before we leave that. So now let's go to John 14. Let's go back to John 14 now. John 14, verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Jesus says that he will do the greater works. This is a powerful statement in the spiritual warfare. Most people reach this phrase and then comes a great debate. The theological argument. Who answers prayer? It's a great theological argument. I know y'all argue about it all the time. But it's a great theological argument. And who answers prayer? God the Father? Jesus Christ? Or God the Holy Spirit? Or as some teach, believers themselves answer their own prayers by their own efforts, by applying certain doctrines to circumstances and all. But most debate centers on who answers the prayer, the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. Okay, don't do this out loud, let's play poker. What would you say? Which member of the Godhead would you say answers prayer? All right. On getting ready for this, what is coming up, let's take a look. To whom should we pray? Let's go look at verse 14 again. Verse 14. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, no, that just can't be. First of all, we can't pray to Jesus Christ. I was taught that. You can't pray to Jesus Christ. Well, this is Jesus Christ speaking. People get so upset, almost legalistic, law, on just whom we can pray to and just who it is that will answer prayer. Now, one of our problems is that we want things to be totally black and white. We like everything to be in its order. One, two, three. One, two, three. People, things aren't one, two, three in personal relationships with God. They're not one, two, three in a personal relationship with God. Must be either God the Father or Jesus Christ, and it can't be Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. It can't be the Holy Spirit. And they just lock out and limit what God can do. So here's your first principle on answering who answers prayer. Don't limit God or try to tell God what he must or must not do. That's pretty bold. Don't limit God or try to tell God what he must or must not do. That was Job. Job had it all figured out. My desire is that you can think in terms of the oneness, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One of the primary purposes of the Gospel of John is the oneness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The union model, I and the Father and me. And now that Jesus Christ sits on the throne, in the midst of the throne, the oneness is even more profound between he and the Father and what he is doing at the throne of God. Instead of getting upset when Jesus Christ declares he will answer our prayers, especially those related to greater works, instead of getting upset and arguing, let's think about the power of the statement itself. This might change some of your resentment when you see what's going on at the throne in the spiritual warfare and just how Jesus Christ is glorified. First, context. Context. Verse 12. Because I go to the Father. because I go to the Father. All these verses, Jesus Christ is in the third heaven, and Jesus Christ is sitting at the throne of God, and Jesus Christ acts in his exalted position. He's not just sitting there, he acts. And now Jesus Christ says, I will do it. It's a powerful statement that takes us right back to the battle between God and Satan. Who is sufficient to be God? And what is one of the primary proofs of who is sufficient to be God? Remember what one of the primary conditions of who is sufficient to be God? Can you keep your word? Can you keep your word? Let's look at Isaiah 41 a moment, very quickly. Isaiah 41. These are the kinds of things I like you to have always on your mind. Isaiah 41, verse 4. Who has performed, and remember now we're in that section where it's a discussion between Jesus Christ and Satan, going back and forth. Who has performed, verse 4, who has performed and accomplished it, calling forth the generations from the beginning. Now verse 17. Let's read a little bit in 17. The afflicted, Isaiah 41, the afflicted and needy are seeking water, but there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them myself. As the God of Israel, I will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. This is Jesus Christ. It's the God of Israel. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land fountains of water. I will put the cedar in the wilderness, the acacia and the myrtle and the olive tree. I will place the juniper in the desert, together with the box tree and the cypress, in order that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight, so that they may see, recognize, consider, and gain insight as well, that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. That's Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Present your case. Now he's talking to Satan. The Lord says, bring forth your strong arguments. Who's sufficient to be God? Satan, you said I am? Okay. You present your case. Bring forth your strong arguments. The King of Jacob says, that's Jesus Christ. Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. As for the former events, declare what they were. All right, you can't tell what's going to happen? Explain the past. People can't even explain the past. As we see in the day in America and with our evolutionists, we can't even explain the past. That we may consider them and know their outcome. Or announce to us what is coming. Who's sufficient to be God? Who can say, understand, interpret the past, and then tell you what's going to happen and have it come, have it happen? Verse 23, declare the things that are going to come afterward, that we may know that you are God's. See? Satan said, I'm God. I am. All right? This is a sufficient to God. God can tell you what's going to happen, and it happened, like the book of Revelation. Indeed, do good or evil. Just do either one, good or evil. I don't care. We may anxiously look about us and fear together. Ooh, look what he can do. Behold, you're of no account. I love this. You're of no account. You can't do it. And your work amounts to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. I have aroused one from the north, and he has come. From the rising of the sun, he will call on my name, and he will come upon rulers as upon mortar. Even the potter treads clay. Who has declared this from the beginning, that we might know? Or from former times, that we may say, he is right. Surely there is no one who declared. Surely there is no one who proclaimed. Surely there is no one who heard your words. Formerly I said to Zion, behold, here they are. And to Jerusalem, I will give you a messenger of good news, coming of the Messiah. So who keeps his word? It's Jesus Christ. No one can stop him. So in our passage, if Jesus Christ said, you ask me and I will do it, no one's going to stop him from keeping his word. So this is where we're going to other things in dealing with who answers prayer. So we need to continue this study and look at some verses in dealing with who answers the prayers. And just, I think every one of you know, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all partakers, working together as a three in answering prayer. No big deal. But we need to cover it. Okay, let's close in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God that you are, that we can come to you in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. How grateful we are for that name and that person and all that name stands for. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, that he sits at your throne, at your right hand, that he is our Savior and our friend, and that we will be with him. When the church is raptured, we'll meet him in the air to be with him forever. What wonderful two nights together of studying your scriptures has brought us to, Father. And we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.